The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Europe-US relationship has undergone a number of geopolitical shifts since the start of this year, most notably the agreement of 15% trade tariffs back in July. But what exactly does the future of business in Ireland look like amidst the economic uncertainty of shifting global trade policies? Larry Donnelly, as you know, is a law lecturer at the University of Galway and a columnist with the journal.ie. He's also speaking at an event on Thursday. It's part of the legal firm RDJ's geopolitical event, which will explore how global politics is impacting Irish business. And Larry, of course, will talk largely about global politics and the impact it might have. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we'll talk about Ireland and the difficulties that are presented doing business here in a moment based on what's happening in geopolitics. But we should talk about the latest from the USA. I noticed that the New York Times is being sued by Donald J. Trump for billions of dollars on foot of stuff about the Epstein files that they produce. But also, they're pointing up a big story about the nature of a deal in the Emirates between Witkoff and the Trump family and the availability to the UAE of chips that should not really be available generally.
Yeah, it's absolutely extraordinary, Pat. I mean, this is a story that should be read by everyone. And I think it probably will confirm some of people's worst perceptions of Donald Trump. Basically, in the UAE, they gave $2 billion, a $2 billion investment to a startup owned by the Trump family, in which Steve Witkoff, who was doing negotiating over there in the Middle East for him, also has an interest. Then weeks later, Donald Trump gave them access to AI chips, which are, I suppose, the top of the market. I mean, the leading technological leader, which there have been serious concerns about the fact that they could be shared with China. So it's really, looking at it, it's the ultimate grift. And you have to wonder, Steve Witkoff, who's allegedly over in the Middle East negotiating peace, in Gaza, et cetera, you'd have to wonder what actually is going on when the doors are closed. So this is a story that's really, really remarkable. Mm.
So they put $2 billion into World Liberty Financial. This is the startup founded by the Witkoffs and Trump. And then a couple of weeks later, we get this chip sale to UAE with all the security implications that has. Why is nobody in the Republican Party jumping up and down about this?
For a very simple reason, Pat. They're worried. They're nervous. They don't want to cross Trump. Trump has denied this, of course, but it's hard to see it as anything but a quid pro quo. I think elected Republicans know. I mean, obviously, behind closed doors, they have deep misgivings about all of this. But they are also aware that Donald Trump enjoys a loyalty among the conservative faithful in the United States that is unbelievable. People will look past just about anything, and we've seen evidence of that to date. As such, they will accept the denials, say there's nothing to see here, and move on. I'm afraid that's where we're at in American politics. And I think there's also an attitude out there percolating in the electorate. Remember, Americans are deeply pessimistic. They're turned off. They're jaded. Some of them would say, sure, they all do this kind of thing. There would be an element of that to it as well. So sadly, this is not going to make a ripple, I don't think, in the political scene. Of course, his opponents will continue to point this out. But whether it will move the needle very much, I'm just not so sure.
Now, then Trump is criticizing Europe for not sanctioning China over their purchase of Russian oil. And of course, European countries getting some Russian oil by the back door and saying that why should he do things if Europe won't do things? I mean, it's incredibly cheeky, I suppose, of Trump demanding. I mean, he's demanded all sorts of things besides what he's demanded of Europe. He's talking about asking Canada or telling Canada to go in and run Haiti and sort out the security problems in Haiti rather than have American boots on the ground. The effrontery of the man is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, cheeky is one word for it. I think it's a big mistake at so many levels here. And given the theme of what I'm going to be talking about on Thursday, the EU-US relationship, this is really on this front. the EU and the US should be working hand in hand. It shouldn't be, look, I'm going to look, but you have to leap first. That's effectively what Trump is saying to the EU. That's not the way it works. And if they were to work together on these issues in terms of confronting Russia for what it's done to Ukraine, in terms of confronting or dealing with China and all that goes with it, they could have a very powerful alliance here. It's better to be together, to be united, than to be separated. But clearly, that is not the posture that the Trump administration is taking. And it plays into some of the anti-Europe, anti-EU sentiment that is definitely in the corridors of power and in the inner circle of the Trump administration.
Now, your theme will be talking about global politics and how that might impact Irish business. Explain.
Well, look, I mean, we have a situation where the United States, largely at the behest of its people, as I keep saying, Trump is a symptom. He's not a cause. In which the United States wants to be, its own place and forget about the rest of the world, in which it wants to recalibrate the issues of trade, the issues of defense, all these sorts of things. And of course, this is going to be a trying time for the European Union and Ireland, perhaps above all, because of the nature of our relationship with the United States. We are uniquely exposed across a whole range of different fronts. I'm not apocalyptic. I'm not overly negative, but I'm not blind to the challenges that that puts forward. And I think accordingly, Irish business, Irish politicians, Irish diplomats are going to have to pivot. I think they're doing so already, but they're going to have to pivot to confront the new reality. And the new reality is not just a product of the Trump administration. I suspect, given the overwhelming sentiment in the United States, I suspect that future presidents are also going to be responsive and to act accordingly. So this is a really pivotal moment, I think, in the relationship, the transatlantic relationship, and it's one in which Ireland, of course, is exposed, but I think Ireland also has opportunities.
Mm. What are those opportunities then? I mean, we see, Keir Starmer issued the invitation to Donald Trump. He's arriving there today and he'll have dinner with the King and Camilla and so on. The red carpet will be rolled out. He'll have a carriage ride. It'll be all Disney for Trump today. I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Well, look, I mean, part of it, is the realpolitik of the situation, and what's happening in the UK reflects that. The fact is, and we see not just political leaders, but business people, the tech bros, for instance, who are reverencing Donald Trump. So there is an element to that. And, for instance, the Irish Open is going to be held at Doon Beg. That's something that we have to do. But in terms of opportunities, I think it is, to some extent, the old Boston versus Berlin question comes into this. And I would never give up on Boston, of course, but I think we need to look at Berlin more. We need to look within the European Union. And in terms of our trade, while doing everything possible to overcome tariffs and other things, and, Irish business people are creative, they're ingenious, there are ways and means of doing that. But at the same time, I think an element of diversification here, looking to other markets, not being so dependent as we are on the relationship with the United States. So we have to do these things. I mean, that is the fact. But when we have to do things, sometimes opportunities will arise.
Now, what about the complaints of Americans? I mean, Trump famously was complaining about VAT, not realizing that everybody pays VAT, not just American stuff coming into Europe. It was quite bizarre, but it does show the depth of ignorance that the man possesses. I mean, lots of people know little enough about things, but they don't spout about them. They just keep quiet if they're ignorant. But he doesn't.
No, that's true. And again, Pat, that is playing to a sentiment that is, alive in the United States. This idea that Europe is done, that Europe is past it, that it's something of a socialist theme park. That would be a popular enough sentiment on the right. And it's not new. We saw pejorative references to Europe during George W. Bush's administration. Does anyone remember Freedom Fries, for instance, a dig at the French back then? So all of that stuff is definitely in the ether. But we do have some things that I think are challenging for Ireland. For instance, the Business Post recently covered a State Department document which warned of all the infrastructural difficulties here and obstacles to basically to foreign direct investment coming here. And the climate for that is going to be ever more difficult. And if we have all of this sort of bureaucratic red tape, we have a housing shortage, a housing crisis, all sorts of transport issues, it's health issues, all sorts of things, these need to be remedied because, again, the climate around all of this stuff is going to get more difficult, more competitive.
Well, in the middle of all your commentary there, Larry, there was a little note of optimism which you may not even have noticed yourself, which is, in spite of the Freedom Fries, they're back eating French fries in America. So therefore, we can think that all of this may change.
Well, we certainly have to hold out hope. And look, Trump, sometimes the bark can be louder than the bite. We do know that he seems to have a better relationship with Ursula von der Leyen. We know he seems to have a residual fondness for Ireland and for Irish Americans. All of those things, I think, can be used to our advantage. But make no mistake, there are very real dangers. We are in uncharted waters, and we need to be very mindful of how we pivot. Assuming that things are going to stay the same is a big mistake, in my view. Things are changing, and they're going to continue to change.
Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist at thejournal.ie, who is speaking at an event, the legal firm RDJ's geopolitical event this Thursday. Larry, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.